Camille West is my guest today. Oh, she's so much fun. She always has these funny, funny songs for us. So that's going to be a lot of...
That's a big treat.
This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry's going to be in, of course. And let's see, we also have Eddie Lawrence on the turntable. We're going to be playing him in just a second. Also, some Swedish comedy, Trout Fishing in America, a group called Studio B. And so it's just, you know, lots of fun, business as usual. Well, let's listen to this Eddie Lawrence. This is very dated material, very dated. It's the old philosopher at the World's Fair. World's Fair, we're talking about 1964. I thought it was kind of interesting anyway, even from a historic standpoint.
Hello, all you World's Fair visitors who have come to visit our beloved New York City. You say you got a room in Brooklyn for $40 a day over a dry goods store? And your wife stood in line at the Radio City Music Hall for 6 hours and ended up in Corvettes? And you ain't seen her since. It's been 8 days now. And you eat a meal of egg rolls, pizza, and knishes, and you can't walk for a week. And you just got caught in a zip gunfight on the subway. And some guy sold you a map of the fair with a trilon and a perisphere on it. Is that what's got you applying for traveler's aid today?
Well, lift your head up high and take a stroll in that blazing sun. $9 an hour on one of them push carts, are you kidding? You'll show Robert Moses, you'll show them all. You'll show General de Gaulle. Remember, he who laughs last gets fired first.
Hiya, tourists. You say you give a cab driver a dime tip from the airport and he runs you over? And some strange fella in jeans and a $40 shirt is making goo-goo eyes at you over on 3rd Avenue? And you just had your pocket picked on Times Square in a whip store? And you squeeze on the World's Fair Express and get your mouth caught on an old fox fur piece? And you go in the Japanese pavilion and see a movie where they won the war? And you get into an argument with a Siamese waiter and his twin hits you in a kisser with a bowl of chutney? And they buried all your traveler's checks in that 5,000-year time capsule? Let American Express get out of that. And they just charged you $1 to go in an unfinished building. Does all this seem to upset you today, Bunky?
Well, lift your head up high and stand on line in the rain. Don't let that old lady sneak in front of you. Stop looking around for a French pavilion. That was 1939. Remember, he who stoops to conquer conquers only stoops.
Hey there, cousin. You say Grandpa got loaded drunk in a wax museum and attacked Whistler's mother? And you wolfed down a hero sandwich and your tie is missing? And you're up in the monorail and they call a strike? And your kids ain't been to the bathroom yet? Watch it, Johnny. Look out below. And you just paid $1.45 for a soft drink? And you pass by the fireworks and get a Roman candle up your nose? And you just had a terrible argument with a machine in the IBM building? And you gave one of your kids $25 and he comes back with a liverwurst sandwich and a Donald Duck sweatshirt? And you're up in a Ferris wheel with a crazy lady who keeps screaming she's Theda Bara? Is that what's causing the sinuses to flare up today, cousin?
Well, face the future with a grin on those grizzly lips and a melody ringing in your eardrums. Get down to that desk clerk and tell them all about it. $30 for ice cubes. Remember, if at first you don't succeed, give up.
Camille West is joining me here on Knock on Wood. Camille, it's so nice to have you in the studio here.
Well, thank you. It's so nice to be here.
Good. Well, good, and it's mutual. Now, this is sort of surprising because I've been in the area. I pretty much know, I thought I knew all the folk singers, especially funny folk singers. Mm-hmm. And then you come along and suddenly I never heard of you. You hand me the CD, and it's really marvelous, wonderful CD that you have. Very funny material. How long have you been, you know, playing?
About 5 years now, for the past 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, I mean, you've seemed to have come a long way in 5 years. I mean, the songs especially seem very fully developed and very clever.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I kind of like them myself.
Well, good. I'm glad. Because a lot of other people do, too, obviously. The name of Camille's CD is Mother Tongue. Right?
Right.
And you live up in Glens Falls, New York.
Yes, I do.
Correct? Yeah. No one knows what I'm talking about unless they happen to be Camille West fans, which they may very well be. But if they don't know what I'm talking about, I think it's time to turn them on to a Camille West song. Why don't you do one?
Oh, thank you. This one is a song about a love for a dentist. a teenager's love for a dentist. It's called Root Canal of the Heart. Roger Wingtip is my dentist. There's no one can compare. When he talks about bicuspids, he makes you really care. I once chewed 3 pounds of licorice to spend more time in his chair. Roger Wingtip is my dentist. There's no one can compare. One day I got the nerve to tell him what I had to say. I said, I wink, I rave. His hands got in the way. And he looked at me and he said, yes, I think the weather is fine today. Only once I got the nerve to tell him what I had to say. Normally in this part of the song you'd have a bridge. But it's a short song, so it's a partial bridge. Oh, Roger, you cause me pain, an ache that cannot be diminished with Novocaine. Roger stood so close, I could almost smell his breath. And that needle he was holding, oh, it scared me half to death. But he whispered, are you comfortable? And I softly answered, yes. When Roger stood so close, I smelled the garlic on his breath. Well, I got that tingly feeling where Roger touched my gum. And now dental work was over, and I knew the time had come. So I kissed him, but I missed him, 'cause my lower lip was numb. Still I got that tingly feeling where Roger touched my gum. Oh, Roger, you cause me pain, an ache that cannot be diminished with Novocaine. No, 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 oh, Roger, what have you done? My heart is broken and bleeding like my gums.
I had to work very hard not to laugh and ruin the recording, Camille.
That is okay.
Very funny.
Thank you.
Very funny song. I love that song.
Oh,
I love that song.
It hurts so much to do, you know? It hurts. It really, it hurts right here.
Mm. I love the part with the Novocaine. Yes, you're trying to talk. It's so
great. Thank you so
very
much.
Very funny. Where were you when I did my dental show? That would have been so perfect for the dentist show. Oh, well.
Do another one.
Hey, part two.
Yeah, Dentistry, part two.
Well, thank you so much. Camille West is who you just heard, if you happen to come into the middle of that. She's got a CD called Mother Tongue, and you'll do that song, too, for us one day, I hope.
Oh, yes.
Come back, yeah. Thanks, Camille.
Thank you.
Will
I
you
had
come
a great
back?
Time.
Good. You going to come back?
Oh, yes.
Oh, good.
Hello, this is Dr. Fenstermacher, and I'm going to play a song on the piano for you. And...
Hi, Dr. Fenstermacher.
Now, what do you want, Harry?
Well, I have another favor to ask you.
What is it?
Would you play baseball with me?
You're really bugging me, you know that?
Sorry.
Wait a second, do you want to be a bug?
Well, I don't know.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions. Do you like to squirm?
Sometimes.
Well, then you want to be a worm.
I do.
You want to make kids scream?
You bet.
To be a spider is your dream. You want a wood house to collapse.
Kaboom!
To be a big termite, perhaps. Chirp, cheep, crawl, creep. You want to be a bug. You want to make folks sick.
I don't think so.
Well, then you'd want to be a tick.
Eek!
You want to be a moocher. To be a leeches in your future. You want to get that buggy feeling? crawl up the wall and across the ceiling. Flip, flop, fly, hop, you want to be a bug. Come on, you want to be a bug, a big bad bug with a lot of legs and an ugly mug, or a butterfly. Fat fodder's by. Make noise while rubbing your legs and laying 100,000 eggs. Then you want to be a bug, you got to be a bug, man, you really, really want to be a bug. Ugh! Don't you want to be a cutie?
I thought I was.
Well, then you don't want to be a cootie.
No way.
You want to bug the cat.
Mm-hmm.
Well, fleas do that. Do you want to be a pest?
Uh-huh.
Hey, well, then you know what's coming next.
What? What?
Waggle, wiggle, jump and jiggle. Hey, you want to be a bug. Do you want to be nice?
I do.
Then you don't want to be lice.
Yucca.
One lice is a louse. I don't want one round my house.
Me neither.
You want to get under my skin? Then be a tapeworm. Come on in. Just kidding. Chitter, flitter, ugly critter. Man, you want to be a bug. Last time. You want to be a bug, a big bad bug with a lot of legs and an ugly mug, or a butterfly. Fat flutters by. Make noise while rubbing your legs and laying 100,000 eggs. Then you want to be a bug, you gotta be a bug, you really, really want to be a bug.
Ugh!
Picnic. Then the Goose Pluckers Union assembled last May. I first met my soulmate licking a pie plate. That sweet, lovely creature stole my heart away. Well, I met my love at the Goose Pluckers Picnic. I'm so happy that fate's worked things out so darn well. I'm glad last September I joined as a member in the Goose Pluckers branch of the AFL. You know, I lost my heart at the Goose Pluckers Picnic when I met Minnie with her hair so blonde and wavy. Yeah. I'd been elected to serve mashed potatoes at the picnic, and Minnie was in charge of the gravy. Well, she walked over to help me mash potatoes, and as we stood there side by side, mashing just so hard as we can, I suddenly felt my body go limp with love when our potato mashers hooked together in the pan. Then I asked her if she'd be my partner in the goose plucking contest. In this contest, each couple had a goose between them, but the other couples were all experienced and in good goose plucking form. But when that contest starter fired his gun, we all started plucking up a storm. Oh, Minnie and me was lost in a cloud of eiderdown. Our eyes on that goose was glued. And before the other couples got down to the pin feathers, our goose was completely nude. Oh, the union members just went wild when we won. And I thought my heart would thump loose when I saw Minnie, the girl of my dreams, waving that stark naked goose. She was a lovely creature in her ruffled skirt and paratrooper boots. And then she fluttered her eyelids at me. I fell with a crash, just like a milk cow tipped over on Halloween. Well, Minnie and me is married now, and she cooks my goose with nary a feather. So with our hearts full of love and our mouth full of giblets, we shall grow through life together, plucking geese. I lost my heart at the Goose Pluckers Picnic. It was fate made that nature as stars up above. I fell like a petal, head over tea kettle. At the Goose Pluckers Picnic is where I found my true love.
That's a fella called Stan Borison singing the lyrics of Doug Sederberg. Whole album of, well, funny Swedish songs, what can I say? Camille West is left, but Harry's here.
Right, Steve.
This is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney.
Well, you certainly are.
Where were you last night? You got home so late, I was worried about you.
I was hanging out at a bar.
A bar? Harry, you're too young for that. You could be arrested.
I was at a salad bar.
Oh, well, that's all right. Did you meet any nice vegetables?
I started a conversation with a Brussels sprout. It didn't last too long. All he did was complain.
About what?
How no one likes him.
Well, why'd you stop talking to him?
Because I didn't like him.
Did you meet any nice, you know, females?
Oh, they were two peppers. They were sisters, Polly and Molly. I didn't like Polly, but I was hot to Molly.
Any tomatoes?
I met someone named Sherry. She was a sherry tomato. Just a vine.
A vine tomato? Hey, did you run into any oranges?
What are you, nuts? No self-respecting fruit would be caught dead in a salad bar. They hang out in their own juice bars. Though, last night there was a pretty big scandal, Steve, when the bartender found a couple of raisins who had snuck in and were, you know, trying to blend in with everyone.
Raisins? How'd they slip by?
Well, they were posing as olives. Shriveled Greek kind, Steve. Turned out the bartender was a Greek avocado, and he tried to engage them in conversation. Ha! When he found out they didn't know Greek, jig was up, and they were rolled.
Sounds like a lot of fun hanging out in a salad bar.
The whole thing ended in a free-for-all, though. I'll tell you what happened, Steve. These artichokes came in toting these long asparagus spears, right? Usually you have to check those things at the door, but, you know, they slipped through. So they're sitting at the salad bar when along comes a red potato. One of the artichokes calls the red potato a carrot top, which you don't say to a red potato, Steve, unless you're ready to fight. They're small, but they're feisty. So the potato tries to mash the artichoke, and the artichoke pokes out an eye of the potato with the asparagus spear. Well, the potato goes ballistic and tries to rip out the artichoke's heart. A celery stalks over and tries to stop them by tying them up with string beans. Only the string breaks, and now it's one big food fight. Kidney beans are getting it in the kidneys. The corn is being punched in its ear. The tofu gets it in on the toe. The black-eyed peas are getting black eyes. It's one big mess! When it was over, it was the biggest salad you ever saw.
What did you do?
I dribbled some olive oil and vinegar on the whole thing and I dug in. Rest I put in the fridge for later.
You know, it sounds dangerous hanging out at salad bars. I don't know if I want you going there anymore. These vegetables get juiced and there's no telling what'll happen.
All right, I won't hang out at salad bars. But can I still go to the juice bars?
You go to juice bars too?
Sure. Take a break, Steve. I'll tell you what happened to the one I went to last week.
All right, let's listen to Trout Fishing in America then.
It belongs to me. I've had it for a long time. There's nothing like it in this world. It's mine. I know you want it, and I really can't blame you. You'd like to touch it, but if you do, I'll maim you. So if you value your life, you value your face, you'll accept this at face value. It's mine, I won't share it. It's mine. I feel the envy in your eyes each time you see it. But you know that it's rightfully mine. You'd better believe it. And when I'm gone and you're alone, don't even try it. 'Cause I'll know, yes, I'll know. And you could never deny it. So if you value your life, you value your face, you'll accept this at face value. It's mine, I won't shed it. It's mine, I saw it first. It's mine, I had it last. It's mine, oh can't you see? It's made for me. Is a treasure, uniquely one of a kind. Any king would be proud to possess his mind. It's my pleasure, my comfort, my joy. It is the love of my life. On an island alone by myself in a sea of desire. So if you value your life, you value your face, you'll accept this at face value. It's mine, I won't shed it. It's mine.
That's the title song to Trout Fishing in America's CD. Mine! Interesting song, I like it. Well, this is Knock on Wood, and I'm Steve Charney. Harry's upsetting me, you know, if you tuned in late. He went to a bar last night. Well, salad bar. They don't drink alcohol.
Just carrot juice.
And there was a big fight between the artichokes and the potatoes. It turned into quite a free-for-all. I don't want you going there anymore.
But I could still go to the juice bars, right?
Is it really true that no self-respecting fruit would be caught squeezed in a salad bar?
That's right, Steve, to each his own. But I must say that fruit bars aren't that much better. They're all a bunch of brainless boobs, if you ask me. I shouldn't tell you what happened last week, because you probably won't let me go anymore. Such a juicy story, though, I can't resist. Should I tell it?
Honeydew.
All right, sugar. I'm sitting at the bar with some of the regulars, you know. There's this big watermelon who's there every day. Man, he's seedy. And these three cherries and a pits. Oh, I didn't tell you about this unwashed grape we try to avoid. He's right, man. Anyway, we see this big melon come in, and he doesn't look too happy.
How do you know if a melon is happy?
You feel his head. If it's soft, then he's happy.
I see.
Big guy, weighed a ton, shaved head. He's looking for his girlfriend, the apple of his eye. And he sees her three stools down from mine, flirting with a plum.
Is she pretty?
Oh, she's a real peach.
Wait a second, I thought you said she was an apple.
No, no, Steve. He treats her like an apple. It's a total waste because she's peachy keen. Anyway, when he sees what company she's keeping, he goes plum crazy, purple with rage. And believe me, you don't want to make a melon his size mad.
Well, what happened?
He went bananas, especially because he was juiced. And so the fight starts. And the plum's buddies join in, and the melon's buddies join in. Before you know it, it's another food fight in Juice City. Everyone was in on it. Pomegranates, prunes, mangoes, papayas, tangerines, everyone except the bananas.
Why not the bananas?
Ah, they were too yellow to fight. But I don't have to tell you, the apples got bruised. And the grapes were raisin. A ruckus. The place went nuts.
They allow nuts in a juice bar?
Yeah, I know. Technically, a nut shouldn't be in a juice bar, but they're tolerated, Steve. Except for the big nuts. Ah! You know, if you're a big nut, it's hard to fit in anywhere. They're crazy, you know.
Well, what can you do? They're nuts.
Exactly.
No, and I mean, they are nuts.
I know. They're bouncing off the walls, jumping on the bar. They're nuts.
Cashews?
Because I'm tight.
No, I mean, what kind of nuts were they?
I think the manic depressive kind.
I mean, where'd they come from?
Macadamia. I never met a macadamia and it wasn't a nut. So anyway, they're not helping any, acting crazy and all. And in the confusion, I see the peach sneak out of the bar with an orange slice. The melon ends up buying the plum and everyone else drinks and begins weeping into his own fruit juice.
He was sad because he loved her.
Of course. They made such a nice pair, and now they can't elope.
Well, today from Studio B, we have with us a memory expert, and as I understand it, you teach courses, you give lectures on how to better use your mind and the memory.
That's right. It can help anybody, no matter what business you're in. If your memory is sharpened and you have little tricks to remember things like...
People's names when you're introduced at a
party.
Right,
people's names. Yeah, yeah, that's what I meant to say.
What is it, association? That you...
It's association. We have various things. Sometimes you take the alphabet and go A, B, C, D, and then A will make you remember something, and then...
So what do you do?
C, is it C?
ABC, yes.
C, yes. C is next.
So that actually is what they call, or what you call, memory pegs.
We call it our memory mosaic.
Memory mosaic.
Yeah, it was developed
That's
in Texas.
That's the technique?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's a thing where you recall something, like if it's blue and it begins with a P, then you know very well that...
Into the mosaic.
Yeah, let me just look at my notes here for a second.
But let me ask you this. Let's say you're at a party and you're introduced, and they say, this is Bill and this is Betty.
We use what we call our Hollywood technique. So, you know, if Gladys looks like Humphrey Bogart, you remember the initials HB. B is for blue. Blue and Bogart. See? You get it? And then you look at her and you say, hey, she looks like Bogart. If so, Gable.
Gable. But how does that, Gladys
well,
is
if their
supposed
name
to
is
be
Kent.
Blue.
if their name is Kent, well, mm-hmm. see, now Gladys can help you think of Kent, mm-hmm. who looks like Gable, because Bogart
Who's
and
Kent?
Gable
Who's
knew
Kent?
Each other. Kent is the second person you're trying to, I'm just,
But you said Gladys was blue.
Well, she knows Kent.
Humphrey,
she's a friend of
Bogart,
Kent. And see, now here's the key to it. Mm-hmm. She's a friend of Kent's. Maybe mm-hmm. she's Gladys's date.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and Bogart knew Gable.
Yes.
It's a
mm-hmm.
whole thing coming to mm-hmm. Now, Myrna Loy is the mother. Remember
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if
and
from
Myrna
That's
mother?
Right. And mm-hmm. Anne Margaret sometimes mm-hmm. will look like somebody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or if you have someone from a banana country, you know, mm-hmm. somebody that's of a South American persuasion, mm-hmm. you'll say to yourself, green.
Mm-hmm. See? Why would you say that?
Because people from Ireland have immigrated to South America, mm-hmm. and green is for Ireland.
Ah, yes.
Then
mm-hmm.
you remember mm-hmm. a Wallace Berry.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember my name?
Thank
you very much for being with us right here from
Tom
Studio B.
Bill. Bob.
Borsman and McCormick, the name of the album is from Studio B. They used to be syndicated on radio.
Knock on Wood is produced at the Knock on Wood Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show is written and produced by me, Steve Charney. Today's episode was also written with Kelly Kenyon. SteveCharney.com has lots of videos of Harry and myself, as well as jokes, an email address, a sales page with CDs, DVDs, and books, info about our live stage shows, and lots more. And there are two ways that you can listen to previous Knock on Wood programs. If you visit WGXC.org, click on Archives, and type in Knock on Wood, you can listen to previous programs. Or you can go to iTunes, type in my name, and download the podcasts. Okay, bye-bye, everyone.
That you can never quite recall.
Now let me see.
And you see Laura on the train that is passing through.
Roma Seltzer, Roma Seltzer, Roma Seltzer.
Those eyes, how familiar they seem. She gave your very first kiss to you. That was Laura.